Hello, all you wonderfully strange and unusual creatures.
I'm Corey.
And I'm Courtney. And this is Sinister Crimes and Cocktails, a true crime show that digs into the dark depths of sinister minds, their menacing crimes, and mistakes left behind, all while sipping on a sinister cocktail masterminded by Corey for each episode.
We want to first start out by saying that our sinister cocktails featured for each episode is just to help us lighten the mood a bit on the dark and horrific crimes we cover. And in no way, shape, or form are we trying to make light of the horrific crimes. Please know our hearts go out to the victims, their families and friends, and law enforcement affected by each of the cases we cover.
Okay, Corey, what sinister cocktail have you masterminded for our New Year's bonus episode?
I'm calling this one a new mind on crime. Half an ounce of apricot syrup, half an ounce of pear nectar, half an ounce of gin. You're going to combine all those into a shaker with some edible glitter. Give it a good shake into a champagne glass of your choice, and then top it off with a Prosecco. Enjoy.
So, all you wonderfully strange and unusual creatures, pour yourself a cocktail and settle in for paying it forward with Slaycation. Believe us, you're going to need it. We have been fortunate to have other podcasts such as Into the Looking Glass Darkly to help promote our show when we first launched Sinister Crimes and Cocktails. For our New Year's bonus episode this year, Corey and I wanted to pay it forward by promoting the new podcast Slaycation that has a truly fascinating twist on true crime podcasts. Slaycation, which will be launched on January 9th, is a gripping and darkly comedic podcast that delves into the chilling world of murders on vacation. Hosted by true crime enthusiast Kim Davis, her comedy writer husband, and a seasoned TV producer, this unique and hilarious show will have you laughing and exclaiming, "What the actual fuck?" as it takes you on a twisted journey through the wildest vacation murders that will have you canceling your flight. We are privileged to have co-host of Slaycation, Kim Davis, with us today to talk about her exciting new endeavor into the world of podcasting. We are so excited to have you on, Kim. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you guys so much. I can't tell you what it means to me to be welcomed on your podcast to talk about Slaycation. And might I mention how much I really enjoy your podcast and not just for the sinister cocktails?
Thank you so much, Kim.
Now, Kim, you are no stranger to true crime, but how has your journey been in regards to starting your new podcast, Slaycation?
So it's been quite a journey, and we're very excited. Nervous, but very excited.
I'm really excited to listen to Slaycation because I really do believe that you have found a niche in the world of true crime podcasts.
Yeah, I'm really excited. This is so cool to listen about vacations gone wrong.
It's true. You would be surprised at how much insanity occurs, suspicious insanity that occurs while on vacation. And it first started with the name Slaycation. My husband, Adam, has this real knack for coming up with names. So a lot of times it's not unusual for him to come up with the name and then work something around it. And this is how this kind of evolved. He just happened to be sort of lamenting like, Slaycation. He was like, I think there's something to Slaycation. When Adam started saying Slaycation, I just happened to go, oh yeah, there was a story about so-and-so. And he was like a little taken aback. And then he said, stop, go no further. I think we have a show here. And thus, Slaycation was born.
I really love that.
I do too. I think that's great. So, Kim, tell me a little bit more about your background. How did you get into true crime?
Well, it really was something that was an interest I've always had. I mean, ever since I can remember, I was always reading true crime books. In fact, it was the only literature, if you want to call it that, that I consumed. And I remember one of the things Adam, my husband, had told me when he first met me was how intrigued he was by my library, walking into my apartment the first time. And all of it was just covered with books about murder and mayhem.
The fact that that did not deter him from dating you is fantastic. He is definitely a keeper.
Exactly. I've always been fascinated. And when there started to be programming around crimes, I was right there at the inception of First 48, Forensic Files. Those were my shows. So that's really where it started. It was just an interest that I've always had. I was always fascinated by forensics, by crime, by mysterious circumstances. So I guess it made sense that I would eventually find myself sitting in the seat of true crime podcaster.
Now, if I'm correct, you with your husband and other co-host Jerry Kobler had a hand in Discovery ID's successful show Homicide Hunter. Can you tell us about your role in that?
Well, I'll tell you, Homicide Hunter was actually a show that my husband's business partner and our dear friend had a role in redeveloping it and making it Discovery ID's one of their most successful shows. I could say that my contribution was more as an audience member, as I really enjoyed not only the content, the first person storytelling by the retired homicide detective featured. Have you guys seen that show? Not to mention the eye candy. Girl, that is a beautiful man.
Oh, yeah. Whoever was responsible for casting him did a fucking fantastic job.
They did do a great job.
There are no lies here right now because, yes. So that's really my contribution. But yes, my husband's business partner and our dear friend, Jerry Kober, had a huge hand in making that show. I have to give him that credit, making that show the success that it was, just helping it realize its full potential.
You know, so as I've said before, I've helped out with picking juries. I currently do that. And one thing that's really important to us is that we have to educate our jury pool on what we call like the CSI effect, which is very important because they've got to know that what they see on TV is not what is in true life and what happens in a real case. It takes more time. It takes more effort than Hollywood makes it appear. So in right now, what you're looking at coming from your background, do you feel like with true crime, it being so popular in the podcast world, it will be an uptake with what they're listening to and what, you know, looking at and seeing and educating them on?
Well, I'll tell you, there's certainly lots of true crime podcasts to consume, for sure. It's interesting, you know, I guess also because as somebody that had been interested in it way back when, before it became what it is today, I can appreciate that because there's always something interesting to engage your interests, whether it's a podcast or a book or a documentary. But yeah, there is a lot.
So, you know, things that people don't realize is that true crime is real life. It's not made up in a Hollywood studio. And something that really happens, there's really affecting people. It's really having an effect on victims. These are real killers, real sinister minds out there. So is that kind of what draws you to true crime?
Well, to be honest, if it didn't really happen, I'm not really interested.
That is how I feel. And true crime really does get one's attention.
It does. It gets my attention. And knowing that it truly occurred makes me want to know, okay, what happened? Why did it happen? You know, I think the thing, too, that really grabbed my interest, particularly about true crime stories, is sort of trying to wrap my head around the evil behind it. And trying to understand how that manifests, why it manifests, how did we get here? How did we get here where we have to look askance at our fellow man? First, by default, we have to be suspicious. That's how we survive.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's something really sad about that. So I always found myself being very curious when I'm hearing a story, for example, and I hear, you know, how somebody pushed their betrothed off a cliff, let's say, I'm always like, okay, why did you do that? And I guess that would be the type of questions that I would ask if I was sitting in a room with somebody like that.
You know, that's one thing that Corey is really good at, looking at why the crime occurred and what were the building blocks leading up to the crime. And she does that really well professionally, too. As a former investigator for the DA's office and now an investigator for defense attorneys, she's always asking the question why. And I think that's really important.
Right. I mean, what is the disconnect? Ladies, do we know? Are there answers? I don't know. The quest continues.
Sure. I will tell you that there's so many different psychological motivations behind crime, right? Why they do it, what makes them commit it. There's environmental factors, there's emotional factors, there's physical factors. There's so many. Because of that, I think that's what makes true crime so interesting. It's never the same, right? Me and Courtney sit here, we try to find, in the month, we try to find some kind of category to go under to talk about true crime. And we find endless possibilities. It's just crazy. And that's because everything is so different.
It really is. I mean, and sometimes you'll find a peculiar situation where there's even somebody that commits a horrific crime and you can't really lend it back to some horrific thing that happened in their childhood. And that's even more crazy.
Great example of that is Jeffrey Dahmer, right? He was raised with a really, really good family, didn't really have any kind of, you know, of trauma or abuse in his life growing up. And he just had a deep sinisterness to him, just a really bad, you know, chemical makeup in his brain that just led him down a dark, deep path. And there's so many cases out there where it's kind of hard not to pinpoint it to childhood trauma or, you know, abuse or something like that. They just kill for pure sinister reasons. And that's what makes it really interesting.
Yep, a boundary has been seriously crossed. And that's the thing too, like when I started to really delve in doing the research for Slaycation and just the various situations of some of these cases, it just had me really wondering like about the type of person that plans a vacation. And you have to wonder too, like, you know, in some of these cases, it feels like it was so premeditated.
Sure.
And you wonder how they can A, do this, and then B, carry out this on somebody that they know, much less love, you know, and then go back to life like nothing happened, and then proclaim their innocence when there's, I don't know, like map in the car with an X where the deceased was found. I mean, and then say, I didn't do this.
Or a receipt found in their possession from a hardware store that has items used in killing the person.
Exactly. Exactly.
And what you find with true crime is it's not that simple, right? There's exactly. So much more behind it. What happened, how it happened, how it developed, all that kind of stuff. I think that's one thing that me and Court, I absolutely love about us is because Courtney's kind of on the other side of it. The general public side of it. So when I say things and she's like, no shit, holy crap. I just love that about it. Cause it's like, wow, people really don't see it from my side of it.
But it's true. It is, you know, and no doubt you probably see quite a bit of crazy.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Kim, we most definitely need a plan to have you down to Texas because Corey has some crazy ass stories she can tell you. And we're only about 5 minutes from the beach.
Girl, I will be there with cocktail in hand.
There you go.
Oh my gosh.
But I'm gonna have to warn you, our waters are about 80 degrees during the summertime. It's kind of like taking a bath, so.
I love that.
We could do a podcast from the beach.
Yes, yes.
We could cover that couple that just got murdered on the beach recently while vacationing.
Yes, girl, yes, I'm there.
I love it. But there's so much possibility in true crime to really look at. As time goes on, you'll keep getting cases that develop and develop and develop, and you could just keep talking about them. And it's endless.
Transitioning from true crime fanatic and then to co-hosting along Emmy-nominated producers must be quite a change for you and your co-host.
It's kind of mind-blowing. I mean, I never could have imagined that I would be sitting in this seat. But, you know, I have to say, it's been very interesting. It's been exciting. And working closely with my husband and his business partner and our dear friend. And of course, they've created content from podcasts and TV shows. So, you know, they bring with it a depth of experience that's been really helpful. So I feel really fortunate that I have that to lean into and that I can really just focus on the research and consumption.
It's a good topic to get on to. So who's doing the research for your podcast?
So I do the bulk of the research. I do all of the research, actually. My co-host, Jerry Culver, also does research on the case. And my husband, Adam, is actually hearing the case for the first time along with the audience. So those reactions are genuine.
I fucking love that. To hear someone's reaction for the first time is just priceless.
Absolutely.
Of course, I have to whack him in the head a few times. His reactions are not always the most appropriate, so I have to elbow him in the groin.
We're not about appropriate. Either.
Exactly. My kind of gal. But yeah, it does make for a lot of interesting banter because he'll have questions, he'll have comments, and he'll certainly have loads of commentary.
Sure. So, and you'll find that makes it easier to talk when you're on your podcast, because that's kind of how me and Court get into it. We'll say something or we'll read something and we just kind of go off from there. And it's so fun.
Exactly. And I think it also makes the listener more engaged. You know, I noticed that even when I was listening to your podcast, one of the things that I had sort of noted was, oh, wow, I feel totally like I'm in the conversation. Like I would be listening and I'd be like, yeah, yes, girl, yes. And it was great. I feel like that's how it should be.
Oh, that's really good to hear, because that's what we were going for, is that hopefully our listeners feel like they're sitting right beside us and having a conversation with us about true crime.
Exactly. I don't need you to read me a story.
I agree, because I can read the stories myself. It's the engagement part that's really the key, I think.
Exactly. Exactly. So that was the thing that I really liked about our podcast. And what I loved about your podcast was just how conversational and how easy it feels. And that's the thing that we try to engage our audience in that same way.
I love it. I think that's what makes yours so interesting.
Which is why I'm so excited to listen to your podcast.
Thank you.
Now, working on a podcast with your husband about spouses who kill each other while on vacation, and the fact that you and your husband go on vacations together must be interesting, and I would imagine a tad bit scary.
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, I think the thing that makes it especially interesting is we go back and forth like, oh, I could this here, or I can X there, or, oh, you could have just done me in right now.
I absolutely agree. You know, when I got into doing the criminal stuff in my life, I had just met my husband. So he was kind of first into this. And it took him a while to finally get on board and be like, okay, you're not going to hurt me, right? Like, we're just in this. You love me. Everything's okay. So I could definitely get that sentiment of your husband going, oh, you could have just killed me, right?
Right.
And I think Courtney is kind of on the same line with this kind of podcasting.
Absolutely, because there's always going to be stress when traveling, even with most seasoned travelers, especially if you have a type A personality like me, who likes everything to go according to plan. Emotions can sometimes run definitely high.
Yes.
I mean, absolutely.
And that's true, because it's like, you know, when you're traveling, when you're trying to make a flight, when you're got somewhere to go, tensions are already high. You're snapping at each other. Like, why didn't you do that before we left?
100%.
It is interesting. And, I think, too, that because we are so communicative, thankfully, and open about it, I think it sort of lightens the mood and alleviates any true anxiety. Because let's face it, ladies, if we were to even consider that, we've already told on ourselves.
So true. So true.
That is a fact.
So I'm very happy. I enjoy my co-hosts. It's nice. It's been very good experience.
Now, during your in-depth research into wacky slaycation stories, there is no doubt that you have probably seen preventative actions that should have been taken before vacationing with a spouse. Would that be correct?
Absolutely. And if you'd like me to share one, I think the universal piece of advice I would get is if your significant other shows up at your job with a suitcase and a reservation and says, we're going on vacation, that's signs of a potential slaycation.
I personally would agree with that.
I don't know. I mean, I would love for my husband to come home and be like, hey, I planned a vacation for us. Let's go.
Don't let him show up at your job like that with your suitcase. I'd be like, why are you going through my things? Were you packed for me? Oh, no. That would be a problem.
That probably would be a red flag because my husband doesn't do any of that stuff. I'd be like, what the hell's going on?
That's exactly what I was going to say, Corey. You do all the planning, your family's vacation, so it would be very out of character for your husband. And I feel like that you're about to get murdered.
Exactly. Another thing, let's say your husband is really into scuba diving. And let's say you're not really into scuba diving. And let's say for your honeymoon, he's like, we're going to go scuba diving. Nope. That might be signs of a slaycation.
That's really funny because I booked a cruise for my honeymoon and my husband doesn't swim. So he was okay with our cruise as long as we had an in-cabin suite. He wasn't okay with us having any water in sight, which is really funny because I wanted a balcony with this beautiful romantic stuff. And he's like, nope, I want the interior next to the washroom because I do not want to see water. And it's funny because our first excursion, we went snorkeling and he tried it one time with a life vest and he was like, nope, done, not doing it. And he sat on the boat the rest of the time drinking rum punch while I snorkeled. So it's really funny saying that because we got married in 07, which was a time period in which a lot of grooms and brides were getting killed on their honeymoon. So it was really funny of a time.
I bet he was shitting himself.
He was so shitting himself. When I told him I wanted to do a cruise, he was like, oh my gosh.
She knows how to get rid of bodies.
Yeah.
It was not for him.
Nope.
Look, I am all for trying things. Your significant other, your friend, whatever is like, hey, try it. Hey, try it. But, you know, if you're not really into it or if you try it and you're like, nope, not for me, I think it's okay to say, you know what? You do this. I'm going to be sipping pina coladas back by the pool.
I truly feel that you have an untapped theme in the world of true crime podcasts.
I couldn't agree more.
Well, thank you, ladies. And thank you so much for inviting me on your show and for talking to me and allowing me to spread the slaycation word.
We really encourage everyone to listen to Slaycation. We know that we're going to be listening. And we're definitely going to have to get you to come to Texas to do a true crime episode together.
Yes. And if you guys ever find yourselves in New York, hit me up. We will do Broadway. We'll do the Botanical Gardens. There's just tons of stuff.
Oh, man, you're speaking Corey and I's language.
Yeah, we're over here getting all excited.
Yes. And your kids, bring them too.
Hell no, we are not bringing our kids.
No, they stay home.
Oh my God.
This is a work thing all the way.
Yeah, that's true. We need to be able to write it off on our taxes if we can't.
Now, Slaycation will be released on January 9th. Is that correct?
January 9th. That is correct.
Kim, before we go, can you please tell our listeners that are hopefully soon to be your listeners, find your podcast Slaycation to listen to?
Anywhere you listen to your podcast, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio. So we will be featured on all your podcast platforms.
Yay! I'm super excited.
We are super excited for you. We hoped you enjoyed your time with us, Kim.
It was like, you know, minus my cocktail, but it was like having cocktails with friends.
That's exactly what we want.
Yes.
Hope you enjoyed it.
As always, stay strange and unusual.
And Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's.
I gotta say, I love that tagline.
Aw, thank you. I think we're all a little strange and unusual.
We'll be back next week with another cocktail and a new tale of sinister minds, their menacing crimes, and mistakes they left behind. Thanks for listening. Please don't forget to subscribe and download us on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite show.
Want the recipe to try Corey's sinister cocktail from today's episode? Or have any constructive feedback or true crime stories you would like to hear us cover? Or even sinister cocktail recipes for us to try? Email us at sinistercrimesandcocktails@gmail.com. Visit our website, www.sinistercrimesandcocktailspodcast.com, Facebook page, Sinister Crimes and Cocktails, and our Instagram page, Sinister Crimes and Cocktails.
Love what you heard and want to help support our show or donate to our Sinister Cocktail Fund? You can donate to our Cash App at @SinisterCrimes, all one word, and we will give you a shout out on our next episode and which fund you donate to. Thank you.